VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us here on the VCY America Radio Network as we go to Channel 2 there. That will get the right microphone on for us. That would certainly help us to get on with the program. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor. And big thanks as always to Sandy for compiling many of the stories over these the past couple of hours, even through this week. So many things going on. If you were listening to a VCY station just minutes ago, you quite possibly heard SRN reporting about Hawaii, and that is where we are going to start here today, because there's been so much talk about the wildfires in Hawaii. Now, we're all kind of conditioned now to the wildfires in Canada, right? But now it's on to these wildfires in Maui, historic wildfires in Maui, where we are certainly not used to hearing about wildfires. You just don't think of it in such a place. But SRN there reporting 55 people have now been killed by these wildfires, 1,000 buildings destroyed. In the headline here from CBN News is saying, in apocalyptic devastation. This article goes on to say, prayer and support needed as the death toll in Hawaii continues to climb. Again, 55 people confirmed dead. That number is expected to rise, unfortunately. And much of that area's culture, they said, has just been erased. As many as 270 buildings damaged or destroyed. Governor Josh Green saying that he believes more than 1,000 structures have been destroyed on Maui. A Hawaiian tourist that did escape said there's no food, no restaurants are open, no stores are open, nobody can get gasoline. There's about 13,000 people in this area of Maui. And the mayor says the town is gone after the largest and deadliest fire on record has raged throughout the streets back beginning Wednesday and Thursday. This once historic district is being described as an apocalyptic scene. Maui County officials saying the wildfire is roughly 80% contained, but power isn't expected to be restored for days, if not weeks. They say a red flag alert with dry conditions, low humidity, and high winds helped to fan the flames of the massive inferno. Major General Kenneth Hara with the Hawaii's Defense Department saying, and then the reason it spread so fast is there are reports of gusts of up to 85 mile per hour winds. And that's why Maui County had such a hard time trying to contain the fire. The United States President Biden has declared Maui a disaster zone, making federal funds available to help those affected. And many ministries, we're obviously sharing here the article from CBN, Operation Blessing, connecting with Christians on the ground there in Hawaii and to support many of the efforts that are going on to get people fed, get people just to keep people safe. If you heard the early reports this week, there were people that just simply they were the only thing that saved them was they just ran on into the waters there to escape the fire. It happened so fast, and as that Major General said, that you're dealing with 85 mile per hour wind. And I know one of the articles we read, CBS was saying, you know, how did this fire start? What causes it? Well, you have lightning, you have volcanic activity are two of the natural causes of wildfires. Although officials note that lightning strikes are a much more common thing, but they're still investigating all of this, but it just sounds like it is, well, doesn't sound like it, clearly is a disaster over there, and we would be right to remember our brothers and sisters and the people of Hawaii over this this tragic week there, 55 at last count, who have who have passed away. And you read these headlines, and then, of course, we have a stack here of news headlines, but and all of this very important, but this is an imminent thing right here. Just it's happening now, and we continue to just lift up those dealing with all of that in Hawaii. There are probably, listening friend, there are probably 5, 6, 7 stories that we should lead with today that deserve great attention. And then maybe to hear back from you as well. This program being called Crosstalk is where we give you the news and information, and then we hear back from you. God willing, we'll open up the phone lines later this hour. But so many things that we should truly be covering. And unfortunately, it has to start with scandal in the White House. Possibly. Breaking news over these past couple of hours, a special counsel has been appointed to investigate Hunter Biden.
Good afternoon. I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters. In keeping with those regulations, I have today notified the designated members of each House of Congress of the appointment. In February 2018, after being nominated by the former president and confirmed by the Senate, Mr. Weiss was sworn in as the United States Attorney for the District of Delaware. Mr. Weiss had been a career prosecutor, having served previously in the office for more than a decade.
So that's Attorney General Merrick Garland appointing David Weiss as special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigation. Well, it's about time. I found interesting what he said. Well, we do this regarding, quote, such matters. Just such matters. So all of this coming 2 weeks after Biden's plea deal, previously handed down by Weiss's office, that fell apart in federal court after a judge discovered a broad immunity clause for future charges buried in the agreement, including felony violations of the Foreign Agent Registration Act. So Garland saying he intends to make Weiss the final report available to the public, and we'll see where we go from there. Of course, many of the things that the president has been dealing with this week has been receiving some airtime, been receiving some ink this week. One America News reporting members of the Biden family, including the president, Joe Biden, and Hunter, his son, will be subpoenaed as part of a corruption investigation. Not from that from House Oversight Chairman James Comer, announcing that yesterday. Comer of Kentucky telling Fox Business Network, "We are going to subpoena the family. We know that this is going to end up in court when we subpoena the Bidens. So we're putting together a case, and I think we've done that very well." Comer did not verify a specific timeline for when this would take place, as he claimed that he wants to talk to three or more associates of the Biden family first. Here is from Just the News. Firms tied to the Biden family collected more than $20 million from foreign sources, including big payments from controversial oligarchs who afterwards had private dinners with Joe Biden as vice president. That was disclosed on Wednesday. In its third memo analyzing bank records, the GOP-led House Oversight and Accountability Committee, it reported it had found a clear pattern of the Biden family and its partners doing business with Russian, Ukrainian, Chinese, Romanian figures, those who had legal and other troubles, and then collecting money around the times of gaining access to none other than Vice President at the time, Joe Biden. The pattern, the congressional investigators noted, corroborates recent testimony from former Hunter Biden business partner Devin Archer that the presidential son solicited business from foreigners who were seeking influence, access, or protection from a family, quote, brand that included the big guy, that included Joe Biden. According to the report, payments to the Biden family and its associates included, number one, $3.5 million from Russian oligarch Bacharina and her now deceased husband, former mayor of Moscow, Yuri Luskov, Number two, $142,300 connected to another associate, former Prime Minister Kerem Mazumov, and two other oligarchs. Number three, $6.5 million tied to Burisma Holdings in Ukraine and its owner, Zlavskevsky, and then a top executive, Parzharsky. There's two more. $3 million from an oligarch who was convicted of bribery and the complicity in abuse of power in Romania. And the last one, $8 million tied to Chinese entities, including CEFC China Energy and its chairman, Ye Jiangming. So there's been so many people say, well, you know, why does Hunter matter? Why does, because there, who is he? Who's his daddy? Who, his dad is the leader of the free world. He's the president, and it does matter. And this is where we are. Here from the New American this week, one of Hunter's other business buddies, Eric Schwerin, went to the White House 36 times while Biden Sr. was vice president. How much Hunter and Schwerin pocketed thanks to the vice president is unknown. Schwerin was the founding partner and managing director of Hunter Biden's now-dissolved firm, Rosemont Seneca Partners, when he was appointed by then-President Obama to the Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad. Worse still, because the White House won't release logs of purely personal guests, he might have checked in at 1600 Pennsylvania more than 36 times, but even if the visits numbered only three dozen, he visited five times annually for seven straight years. This close business partner to Hunter Biden, Eric Schwerin. So, yes, we have trouble abroad and we have trouble right here at home. And do you feel safe in America today? Just asking a question. I wonder how many of you are feeling safe with so many things going on. And maybe you can comment on that when we open up the phones here a little while later on. Here's a troubling headline from the New American as well. And the photo says, government spending. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, released Tuesday a budget review that exposes excessive government spending along with lower revenue, leading to their revised projection that the total federal deficit for 2023 will exceed $1.6 trillion and approach $1.7 trillion. The government has been unable to collect anticipated revenue to cover their growth in spending as well as fight the effects of inflation. The CBO reporting that total receipts are down by 10% for the year, or $418 billion less than during the same period a year before. The decline of revenue, according to the report, is mainly because of smaller than anticipated collections of individual and corporate income taxes. Government spending out of control. Not a new thing, but talk about your wildfires, huh? It is already break time. Stay with us as we'll continue on Friday News Roundup and Comment.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do fingerprints come from?
Crisp fingerprints are unique for each individual, produced by nuances in the genetic code. Now, koala bears also have fingerprints which look surprisingly like human fingerprints, even though in evolution we're not closely related to the koala bears. These are much more human-like than are those pseudo-fingerprints of chimpanzees, which evolutionists think are our closest relative. And how can that be? Evolutionists conclude koala bears and humans evolved their fingerprints independently, a convenient non-answer to evidence which fits creation and not evolution. Chris, the evidence doesn't fit evolution because evolution isn't true. We were created in God's image, separate from the animals, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
We're back. Thank you for joining us. Friday brings the news roundup and comment, looking at headlines from the past couple of hours to, this past week, and there are several. Just a couple of more things we'll comment on with the current administration and where we're going, what's going on. And we just before the break, we were talking about the government spending and the headline saying that the 2023 U.S. deficit growing to a staggering $1.7 trillion. Now, no one can lay this problem at the feet of one party. Too few have been talking about that problem for a long, long time. On both sides of the aisle, that government spending remains out of control. And, you know, that's just as we look at how much has been spent by this current administration, sending money to Ukraine, you know, money going over there. And from many reports, there's more on the way if they continue to get what they want. So, speaking of the administration, here's one from the Epoch Times. President Biden this week signing an executive order to begin the process of restricting high-tech U.S.-based investments going toward China in the areas of AI, artificial intelligence, quantum technology, and semiconductors. This executive order, which is likely to take effect next year following a comment period, will authorize the Treasury Secretary to regulate U.S. investments into Chinese technologies deemed to affect national security. The president, in the order declaring a national emergency in relation to the unusual and extraordinary threat that is posed by countries of concern that are using sensitive technologies to advance their military and intelligence capabilities. It added that U.S. investments risk exacerbating this threat. Some saying this one coming way too little, way too late. The Biden administration, this one from Just the News, the Biden administration canceling an offer to buy 6 million barrels of oil to replenish America's strategic petroleum reserve. This from multiple outlets this week. Remember last year, the president was criticized when he sold off 180 million barrels of oil from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that resulting in a near four-decade reserve low, which he claimed helped to stabilize crude oil markets and reduce prices at the pump. Let me ask you, have you noticed that has worked this past year? Did that bring prices down? Have you bought fuel lately? Reluctantly, we must. We have to. Last month, this July 2023, the Department of Energy announcing a buyback plan to replenish the reserve. One of those acquisition orders, however, has been canceled amid rising oil costs, that according to Reuters. All right, we'll shift the focus. Obviously, 2024 is just around the corner, and many are putting their hats into the ring, if you will, to be the next president of the United States. And interestingly enough, and we won't comment much more than this on it, but interestingly enough, even some on the left looking to take Joe Biden to primary, to have a primary here, election of Democrats on the Democrat side. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. I noticing some of these, quote, stars throwing their support behind Kennedy in 2024. That's something to be watching for. But did you hear anything this week about something that Donald Trump was refusing to sign? Did you hear about this one? The headline from Just the News saying that Donald Trump will not sign the RNC loyalty pledge required to attend the debate. Well, what debate is this all talking about? The RNC chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, had been previously warning Trump, saying, don't skip the debate, contending that if you want to win the nomination, you've got to get in front of your primary voters. And Donald Trump, thinking for himself, is saying that he sounds like he's not going to sign this thing.
When you're at 75, 78, 80%, and other guys are at 0, 1%, 2%, 3%, you do say, what's the upside? Am I going to go up 1 point? But they could go up. You know, they're not dumb people. They're senators. They're governors. They're intelligent people. You have some very good people. I think you have some very good people, and you have some people. I mean, I have a problem with the debate for another reason. I wouldn't sign the pledge. Why would I sign a pledge of people on there that I wouldn't have? I wouldn't have certain people as, you know, somebody that I'd endorse. So they want you to sign a pledge. But I can name three or four people that I wouldn't support for president. So right there, there's a problem. Okay, right there, there's a problem. But I don't have to use that.
Right now,
no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. There's no reason to insult him. But there are some people there that a lot of people wouldn't endorse, but they wouldn't be right. They're not going to go anywhere, by the way. They're not going to get it. But I wouldn't endorse
it. So the RNC said that's one of the requirements for, so you won't sign it.
Well, they have three or four people that I wouldn't, you know, who would put these people as president? If you ever put these people as president, but you'll get somebody else. There'll be somebody. But right now, I saw Kristi Noem, who's terrific. She's done a fantastic job. I watched her this morning. She was on television. They asked her, are you going to run? Because there are other people running. Are you going to run? She said, no. Why aren't you going to run? Because nobody can beat Trump. She said it, which I greatly respect. I mean, she's saying, I hope the truth. She said, why would I run? Nobody's going to beat Trump. There's not even a contest. These people are just wasting their time. Somebody like Asa Hutchinson, who's polling at zero, will ask me nasty questions. Somebody like Chris Christie is polling at 1%, and he's going to ask me nasty questions, and others, too. And then you have some that are very good. I mean, Tim Scott has been very nice, and Ramaswamy has been very, very nice. I mean, these are, you know, very capable people, very good people. But why would you do that when you're leading by so much? Ronald Reagan didn't do it. Nixon didn't do it. Many people didn't do it. And but I'm going to look at it very seriously. I'd like to do it. I've actually gotten very good marks on debating talents. But you want to be, you know, they want a smart president. They want somebody that's going to be smart. So we have to do the smart thing.
Yeah, I think.
Now, I know that President Trump draws much criticism when he says something like, well, I do have debating talent. You know, his critics would really take him to task on just something like that. But that's somewhat of his personality. The former president is currently the clear front runner for the party nomination, leading his nearest rival being Ron DeSantis of Florida by 38% in a Real Clear Politics polling average. But friends, there's several out there vying to lead our country. And these days, even on, as we mentioned, on both sides of the fight. Here's from WND.com. Democrats fearful of President Donald Trump's influence at the direction of ex-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. They've staged a months-long series of committee hearings, including excerpts orchestrated for television, to try to blame him for everything that happened on January 6, 2021, when there were a few hundred people who rioted at the U.S. Capitol. The committee, partisan because Pelosi refused to seat two members nominated by the GOP and instead picked two Republicans who exhibited outright hostility to Trump, investigated all sorts of details about the day. Now, in a bombshell report, Truth Social platform, Donald Trump's social media platform, Trump has revealed the committee destroyed public records. This committee destroyed public records, documents, and recordings that their agenda produced. Trump said, it has just been reported that the unselect January 6th committee of political hacks and thugs has illegally destroyed their records and documents. He said, this is unthinkable, and the fake political indictment against me must be immediately withdrawn. The system is rigged and corrupt, said Donald Trump. Very much like the presidential election of 2020, we are a nation in decline. The January 6th unselect committee got rid of everything, discarded, deleted, thrown out. A flagrant violation of the law. They had so much to hide, and now that I have subpoena power, they didn't want to get caught. They knew exactly what they were doing. An egregious criminal act and blatant disregard of the law. Can you imagine, Trump asked, can you imagine if I would have done such a thing? You know, and I know there's people that have been living a lot longer than I have. I'm a middle-aged man, love my country. Doesn't matter how old you are these days, but I know that so many dear saints listening right now love this country, love our fellow Americans. Do you remember a time when, at the end of the day, whatever side of the aisle you were on, we were at least still Americans? We would at least still be willing to stand together for America. Those days are gone if you're looking at where we are today. You know, there was a time where there was the bipartisanship and we were all Americans and disagreements, and hey, that happens everywhere. That can even happen around the dinner table at your house, right, with the kids. But you know, you're still family, right? Well, that was a beautiful time in our country, and that's just not anymore. They will cancel you. What has happened to us? As we've already asked the question earlier in this half hour, how safe do you feel in this country today? And what should we be doing about these things? Maybe just the one or two more moments. Headlines about Donald Trump. Western Journal reporting a fourth indictment of Donald Trump is looming. That's according to one of Trump's attorneys, Alina Haba, telling Fox News Sunday she expects Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis will secure an indictment against Donald Trump in the coming weeks. She told Fox News, "I think if you look at the barricades, the fact that the PR team is doing fresh pictures for her, it's a good indicator that Fannie wants her moment and she will get on the bandwagon with the rest of the corrupt DAs and AGs that we've seen out of this country." When asked how Trump would respond, Haba saying his response last week when he was arraigned on charges of contempt and obstruction in connection with his election challenges says it all. You know, you don't want to get too successful here in America anymore because, you know, they're going to punish you for it. It certainly appears that way. You don't want to speak out against the powers that be. What happened to free speech? What happened to... Look what we do to each other. Look what we have done. Here is a disgraced former senior FBI agent involved in the agency's investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign based on phony allegations of collusion with Russia is expected to plead guilty to illegally working for a sanctioned oligarch when his case is heard next week. ABC News reporting that Charles McGonigal, the former head of counterintelligence for the FBI's New York field office, is scheduled for a plea proceeding August the 15th, according to a judge's order. There's a line or two more of this, and we are up against this bottom of the hour break. So we'll take the break, we'll come back and finish this story, and then prepare to open up the phone lines and hear from you, wherever you are, on this Friday news roundup and comment on the VCY America Radio Network. Stay with us. The New England primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer. We are back on the VCY America Radio Network in for Jim Schneider, Dalton Windsor on this Friday news roundup and comment. Again, the stack of news is very high today. Many of the headlines we're just going back over for this week, and God willing, we'll get to some positive stories that have gone on this week as well. Just before the break was commenting here from Breitbart News reporting this disgraced former senior FBI agent involved in the agency's investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign based on phony allegations of collusion with Russia is expected to plead guilty to illegally working for a sanctioned oligarch when his case is heard next week. ABC News reporting Charles McGonigal, the former head of counterintelligence for the FBI's New York field office, is scheduled for a plea proceeding August the 15th, according to the judge's order. The 54-year-old is accused by U.S. prosecutors of working for sanctioned Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska, and the change in plea is related to criminal charges of evading U.S. sanctions and money laundering. Last half hour, we posed the question, how safe do you feel in America today? As an American, how safe do you feel? How can you not be a little bit troubled when you hear all of this nastiness, all of this corruption, and all of these charges, and all of the stuff that we're doing to one another? Last one here. By the way, we're going to go to the phone lines here shortly, so we'll give you the number after this. Maybe this is a positive. The judge presiding over Donald Trump's 2020 election trial has denied the DOJ's request to issue a protective order preventing the former president from publicly sharing details about his case. So the judge has sided with Trump, rejecting the DOJ's demand for the protective order in 2020 election case. Judge Tanya Chutkan dismissed their request. She did award prosecutors a small win in prohibiting Trump from sharing material deemed sensitive. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. And we'll go to your calls here in just a moment or two. Here's one from earlier this week. Jim Jordan revealing some big news here. Talk about wanting to feel safe in your country. FBI Special Agent Elvis Chan appeared to make false statements under oath about the Bureau's suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story ahead of the 2020 presidential election. Remember, that's kind of how this all started. Before the election, news agencies were reportedly suppressing that story, not letting it get out, not wanting to affect the outcome of the 2020 election. Well, this was from Republican Ohio Representative Jim Jordan. Chan was the primary conduit between the FBI's Foreign Influence Task Force and social media reports, or social media platforms leading up to the 2020 presidential election, and he appears to have lied about his meetings with tech companies regarding the Hunter Biden laptop story, according to new documents from Jordan. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we do try and deceive, I think is the old saying. So we're going to go to the phones here. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Charlie is in Wisconsin. Thank you for calling in, Charlie.
Well, thank you for your show. I appreciate it. Just a few quick comments. I've observed that for some time now, I think Obama's been running the show. He's the shadow government. And it's a good thing, Dalton, that this is all being exposed because it can be dealt with. It just shows you what's been going on. They're selling out our country and its soul to the Chinese for bribes. And they're gaslighting us. Actually, they blame the victim. They do the deed, and then they blame Donald Trump for what they're doing. Just amazing. I say we pray for that man. Thank you, sir.
Amen, Charlie. Thank you for the call. And are you still there, Charlie?
Yes.
Have you ever not felt safe as an American?
I'm a combat Marine and in Vietnam, and well, let's just say I conceal and carry, and probably for a good reason. I'm not afraid of the citizens as much as I'm afraid of for our own government.
Yeah. All right, Charlie. Thanks again for the call, and thank you for your service as well. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. That was a real thought that I myself been dealing with this week is, you know, back in 9/11, we all go back to 9/11 and remember a day where we didn't feel safe. That was the first time I ever remember not feeling safe in my country. And then with the ongoing landslide of stories and things and conspiracy and lies and facts and things that keep coming to the surface, you know, how safe do we feel today? Do I feel safe in America today? No, I don't. But I do know Jesus. And he knows me. And he knows you. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't know much about, well, wait a minute. God knows you. And God loves you. And had I not known these things, there would be no safety in my heart for me and mine ever again. So you may feel scared today. You may feel in fear today. But we don't have to live there because we still have hope. Julie is in Florida. Thank you for calling Crosstalk today.
Yes, I have a question about the statement that you made earlier when you said that in 1963 that the schools were the prayer was knocked out of the schools, and that was the year that I started kindergarten, and President Kennedy was in office. So, did he have anything to do with that, or who was in charge of that particular law that bans prayer from the schools?
Okay,
I don't feel safe in this country anymore.
Julie, actually, we have not even spoken about that today, so maybe I don't know if you joined us late or something, but we've not even spoken about that story or that today. So I don't know where you got that one. I thank you for calling, though, and that's a whole other subject regarding, you know, when prayer was removed out of school and how silent we was then. And as I've heard most recently on this program, silence equals consent. And so many that would just stand by and said nothing, and they just took freedoms away. Speaking of schools, let me share this with you. A federal judge ruling this week that an Ohio school district's policy that allows students to use the bathroom on the basis of gender identity rather than biological sex may stand. Do you feel safe in America? For your kids? This is a federal judge ruling that an Ohio school district's policy that allows students to use the bathroom on the basis of gender identity rather than their biological sex may stand. Last year, 2022, a coalition of parents represented by America First Legal sued Bethel Local Schools, alleging that the district's policy was enacted without community input and infringed on parental rights. That according to the Cincinnati Inquirer. Judge Michael Newman of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio dismissed the lawsuit, arguing that while parents have the right to choose where their child attends school, they do not have the constitutional right to revoke a school's policy on student bathroom usage. Tony is in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling Crosstalk, Tony.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about that I've lived in this town of Neillsville for just under 11 years now, and we have a nice sheriff's department and a city police, and I feel pretty safe here walking down the streets at any time of the day and night. But this is a small town too, and I imagine there are other places in the state of Wisconsin that maybe isn't as nice as this is, but I'm thankful for where the Lord has placed me at.
Amen. I like that, Tony. Thank you for calling in on that one, and amen to those that keep us safe, whether it be military, whether it be our policemen and our firemen and our first responders. Amen to that. When we look at the bigger picture, though, and we see the games being played, the almost like chess games being played of nations between nations and the thing. Those are the things that come to mind that make me no longer feel safe when our very own people in our highest offices, in our highest White House offices, makes us question what really is happening. I know Jim does programs, from time to time saying, what in the world? What in the world is going on? And what in the world is going on when we cannot protect our kids and send them to school and feel safe with them being able to just simply use the restroom safely without worrying about someone who identifies, a boy who identifies as a girl that day and uses the restroom? I don't feel safe with that. And kudos, as they say, to those parents who have been standing up despite this federal judge saying that they shouldn't have, basically, is what he's saying. Lewis is in Kentucky. Hi, Lewis.
Yes. I'd like to know how Christians can justify voting and supporting Donald Trump when he used the Lord's name in vain twice at a political rally. I voted for him the first time, but I didn't vote for him the second time. I didn't vote for Biden either. But I can't vote for a person that uses the Lord's name in vain, and I was looking at TV when he did it two times.
All right, Lewis. Thank you for the comment today. There are those who would say in regards to there's a difference in voting for president and voting for pastor. So we do have to keep that in mind as well. And so we'd always encourage everyone to vote. To not vote is a vote. Hi, Gina. You're in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello. Have a blessed day. I'm calling about the fires in Maui.
Yes.
Well, we do have relatives on two of the Hawaiian islands, at least. And it seems to me that one of the big concerns I have is that the Chinese are going to buy up that land cheap and develop it. But I have worried that this could be what they're doing in San Francisco. They promote these bad people to office, and then they run down the town so they can buy it all up cheap. And some of the others in California. And a couple other things. People who are depending on their Wi-Fi, I saw a news report this morning, and they said the Wi-Fi went out. So they had no warning, and some of the alarms didn't go off in Maui. Back to Maui, of course.
Yeah, we heard that too.
Mm-hmm. I saw some of the reports from helicopters, and there were big fires, but there were little bitty fires all over the place.
All right. Gina, thank you for your call, and will you agree with many to be praying for those in Hawaii, those who have obviously lost loved ones? The property and things can be replaced, but those loved ones can't. Let's all remember Hawaii in our prayers as we progress into our weekend. Stay with us.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Since February 2018, after Captain Udell Myers, U.S. Marine retired, warned me about the coming military draft or a push thereof, I began to do a lot of shows on that topic with him, in fact. Well, sure enough, a commission was formed by Barack Obama as he went out the doors of the Oval Office along with John McCain, and the two of them formed a commission to study drafting America's daughters. They released the report in March of 2020, and as we expected, the commission is recommending to Congress to draft girls. Now we have the retired admiral, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullins, telling NPR families need to have a conversation around the dinner table about the drafting of their sons and their daughters. Now, Military.com has an article by retired military officer saying we need to bring back a limited draft. Pay attention. Do you want your children being drafted to fight a foreign war?
And this is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. I said at the beginning of the show there were several stories I think that we could lead with, and I don't know that we've gotten through all of those yet. Quickly, Ryan is in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling Crosstalk, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for being a watchman on the wall. We need more of them. This corruption that's going on in this country is just ridiculous. Trump is spot on. He's getting crucified because he knows the truth and they're scared of him. I'm going to bring up a thought that I haven't heard brought up before. It's written in Revelation. End times, it's going to be one world government, one world religion, one world monetary system. And that's something we cannot stop because that's God's written word. But we can do our best. We're supposed to fight for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and our freedoms. And thank you guys for doing that. You're doing a great job. But I just thought I'd bring that up. These Democrats are bringing about God's will, and they don't even know it.
Well, Ryan, thank you for your call. We certainly appreciate it. And it's easy to blame, you know, one side of the aisle or another, but there are those on both sides of the aisle, friends, that are doing simply doing things. This next story here could have been one that we could have led with today. Did you hear what Texas Governor, Republican Governor Greg Abbott did, vetoing more than 75 bills before this year's deadline that were mostly sponsored by conservative Texas state senators? A Republican sitting governor vetoing more than 75 bills before this year's deadline. Never before in the 178-year history of Texas has its governor vetoed so many bills passed by his own party. And the Texas Republicans would override most of those vetoes if they could, but the legislature was required by the state constitution to adjourn in May until 2025, not 2024, until 2025. Tens of thousands of hours of work that went into all of those bills were washed away by Governor Abbott's retaliatory strike against conservatives, members of his own party. This is from PhyllisSchlafly.com. There's a definition of RINO, or Republican in name only, is the term that is thrown around a lot these days. Someone who claims to be one member of a party but only votes in line with Republican values when it is beneficial for them. And this comment here saying that Governor Abbott is a case study in being a RINO. It's sad what we see happening. And back to the phones. Brad is in Wisconsin. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Dalton. Hey, these Democrats are destroying their own records. This is starting to get delicious. They're going after Trump in the media. They maliciously prosecute him with ridiculous charges. And the records of their own proceedings can't exist anymore because they might be brought into the open. What does that tell you about the Democrat Party and the RINOs, like you just spoke of, that help them along? Man, I'm telling you, they must have saw Hillary get away with it, I guess, with that Benghazi scandal. Mm. On the other hand, who knows, maybe she downloaded her stuff to a thumb drive and duct taped it to the handle of her broom. Mm. But anyways, I just wanted to touch on what that other caller asked about JFK. This was a lawsuit, from what I understand, where the prayer was thrown out of schools in 63.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was part of it at all. And actually, I don't think he would have been for it. He was a conservative type of guy. He was for, you know, low taxes, strong defense, and rather conservative. He's more like a Ronald Reagan type, actually.
Yeah. Brad, we thank you for your call so much. And I'll try to squeeze one more in here. Marcy in Minnesota. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi. How are you doing, Dalton?
Oh, God is good. How are you?
Hey, amen. Well, I think we can all be fearful, but we just have to keep remembering that God is in control of this whole thing, and we just got to keep looking up. I'm reading through the Old Testament in the Kings, and I'm at the end of 2 Kings right now, and it's amazing how when a nation that God loved, the Jewish people, they went against him because they would not worship him. And he gave them a long time before he destroyed both Israel and Judah. And America, we aren't any different. It's a bunch of sinful people that are running the government, bunch of sinful people that vote and put people in the government. And they don't see that they are part of the problem. Now, one other thing. I heard a news story that Donald Trump was cozying up to the LGBT group of people. And for that reason, I would not vote for him. I would not vote for anybody that is helping to destroy the morality of our children in this nation.
Well, and not just the morality of our children, but our children in general. How safe can we feel in any country that so will not protect their own, especially in the womb? And so it's a fight that we must continue. And in regards to feeling safe in our country and feeling fear or whatever the case, and something I was reminded as you were talking there, Marcy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we have to remember these things. And what a privilege to stand on the promises of God, even in this day in which we're living. How much time do we have left here, Justin? Not much, not really enough time to even take another call here today, but we thank each and every one of you for calling. Keep remembering Hawaii in your prayers as they continue to deal with the tragic loss of life that they have going on there right now. And listening friend, maybe you've heard us speaking about this Jesus today and the peace that we have by just being his children. You can call on him today. You don't have to wait until Sunday. God willing, Sunday is coming, and what a privilege to gather freely as his church, the church that Jesus Christ is building, the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Our time is gone. On behalf of Jim Schneider, I'm Dalton Windsor, saying thank you for listening. Keep looking up.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.